Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Straight. Tausch and Jesse are off again? Edition. This is what makes Paula get mad at me. This is not the hardest job in the world. I am extremely grateful for it. I don't take a lot of days off. That makes one of us. Edition. The live from Florida, but not from the farm, which I really want to find out about the farm progress. One of the beautiful things about having Brian Bulaga is that if you are a football guy or gal and you want the football without the Tausch stream of consciousness, this is like getting Tausch without the nonsense. So this could be the show for you if there are times, and I know there are those of you in the YouTube comments who get frustrated by this, you would like more football and less... Does Soap Clean Itself edition. And the Brian's going to have to explain to me how on earth you get this offense cooking when your quarterback, who knows what he's going to be able to do between now and September 7th? Who knows what wide receivers are going to be participating in practices between now and September 7th? And oh, by the way, you start the season with two NFC contenders in a five-day span. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can get in both the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Riley Yauch is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs we believe in better for Jesse. Good morning, Riley.
Good morning, Jason.
And from his palatial estate in beautiful Florida, our favorite Florida man, it is Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. Brian, good morning. How are you? Riley, am I the only one who didn't hear Brian speaking?
He should be good now.
Do you got
Hi.
Me now?
Hey! Hi, it's like that old Verizon come commercial.
Come on, Riley. What are we doing, man? I mean, come on.
He's too busy thinking about his jiu-jitsu competitions.
He is. Yeah, he is. He's too worried about getting gold. That's what he's worried about right now.
Silver medalist. By the way, so the last time the three of us were together, Riley was going into his all-valley karate competition like Ralph Macchio in The Karate Kid going up against the Cobra Kai. For those that were not part of our text chain, Riley, how did that go for you?
Yeah, it went pretty well. I took second place out of, I believe, seven competitors. And I know you discussed this right after the fact, but my first match was a victory by forfeit. So,
So what does that mean? Like, did the person, did they not show up? Did they take one look at you and say, boy, I'm not messing with this Jacob Mizorowski lookalike fella? What exactly happened?
That's what I'm saying. No, so they never weighed in. They never showed up. I was waiting. I was ready to go. We waited, like, they gave him 20 extra minutes to show up. I was on the edge of the mat, just kind of bouncing around, waiting. They're like, now we're going to give him time. We're going to do a couple more matches, let him see if he shows up. And then he never showed. So I'm assuming he did some scouting and realized he didn't want to have to deal with me. So I get it. I understand.
I don't want to mess with this 135-pound behemoth.
Hey, 155. Let's get the record.
Is there video of your combat? Do we have, can we do like a digi only for the video crowd to see you in action? Because I personally, I don't want to speak for Brian, but I am very intrigued to see some sort of video evidence of you kicking the crap out of some dude.
There is a video, yes. I can dig that up, and I think we can do that for Digioni.
Ooh.
I think we can make it work.
I don't know what that sound is that Jesse made the other day on the air, but I'm going to make it myself. I'm very excited about this. All right, we're also really excited to have Blue here. He is our cousin sub of the day. Man, you come off the bench more than you did in 2010 behind that big fella. Take me back to that, because we don't talk about the old school days very often, but I think it's instructive given how much you filled in for him twice during his sabbatical. Now you're here again. What do you remember from, I can't remember which injury it was. He had so many that he played through for so long. Old T, he had a groin. Was it a shoulder your rookie year that put him out for the rest of the season? Is that what happened?
Yep. Yeah, it was his shoulder, I believe.
So you're this fresh-faced 20-year-old kid from the suburbs of Chicago and the cornfields of Iowa who has conclusively proven during camp that he is a tackle, not a guard. And you're sitting behind two old heads, Chad Clifton at left tackle, Mark Tauscher at right tackle. You are a longtime left tackle. We see you as the heir apparent at left tackle, but then the right tackle gets hurt, and he's donezo in what turns out to be a Super Bowl championship season. So you find out that Tausch's shoulder is jacked up. Did you go in? Did he injure it in the previous game and you had to go in? Refresh our memory on that.
No. So to my recollection, he finished the game against Detroit. He hurt it against Detroit, and he finished, to my recollection, because I did not go in against Detroit. The only action I saw was the week prior against Buffalo, when Chad did like a series, and his knee hurt or something went on, and I finished out. I played pretty much the entire game at left tackle against Buffalo, and that was my first like game playing in the NFL. Like, I think I took a couple snaps in Chicago. Chad came out for a couple plays in Chicago week one. I ran in and played like two snaps in Chicago. And then the next week at home against Buffalo is when Chad, I think, played one, maybe two series. And then I finished out the game against Buffalo. So pretty much, you know, the entire game. And I'm fairly certain Tausch finished the game against Detroit. Like, he got hurt against Detroit, but he finished the game against Detroit. And then I think he got it scanned and all that, and the aftermath of it was what it was. And I didn't find out he even did anything to it. Really? You know what I mean? I didn't know he did anything to it until, like, Monday. When I think he missed a meeting or something like that, and I was like, where's Tausch at? And they're like, oh, he hurt his shoulder in the game. I was like, finish the game. I'm like, I didn't, you know what I mean? I was a rookie, so I didn't really know much at the, you know, I mean, like, he finished the game. Like, he couldn't have been that badly hurt. But then you start to understand, like, guys playing through things. Like, you're young, you don't understand, and you start to grow up and realize guys are tough, and they kind of push through things. So Monday goes through, and obviously I'm thinking, okay, even if he hurt it, he'll probably just miss some practice this week, and he'll be fine to go against Washington. It'll be okay. It's not a big deal. And then, like, Tuesday night, I get a call from Campy, and he's like, you're going to play right tackle against Washington. You're starting. And I was like, what? I was like, what's wrong with Tausch? He's like, he's going to be out for a while. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, all right. And, like, that was really the end of the conversation. Like, that was pretty much it. And I hung up the phone, and I'm like, I've never taken a snap at right tackle. I've never gotten in that stance. I've never gotten in, a right-handed stance before in my entire, like, collegiate career, high school. Like, you know what I mean? I always played on the left side of the line. Like, I played left tackle in high school my senior year. I played left guard in my freshman year at Iowa, and then I transitioned to left tackle. And then, obviously, in camp, I played left guard and left tackle, you know, in Green Bay. So, like, I had never even taken a single rep at right tackle. So he told me that, and I was like, oh my God, like, I literally, I'm thinking about the playbook in my head. I'm like, I know the playbook on this side. I don't know the playbook. Like, I know the playbook, but, like, all these calls flipped around in my brain. I'm like, my head just starting to spin, like, going nuts. I, like, literally that night, I'm opening up the playbook, just refreshing the plays, but flipping it every, you know, looking at it on the opposite side. Like, we get to practice on Wednesday, and, like, I get down to practice super early, and just, like, with Jerry Fontenot, he was the assistant O-line coach at the time, and I just start, like, taking, like, just, like, just start taking reps with Jerry, because, like, I've never done this before. Like, I'm like, Jerry, I don't know what I'm, like, I got to get comfortable with this before we even start practice. Like, I've never done this. He's like, oh, you'll be fine. You'll get used to it, and, like, my Wednesday, I looked absolutely horrendous. I looked like a baby giraffe. Like, I just looked so bad. And then, like, I stayed after practice on Wednesday, and, like, I did more and more. And then third, like, I watched the tape Wednesday. I felt better. Like, after watching the tape, I'm like, okay, I can correct these things. Like, I understand where I'm kind of at in space, because that's the biggest thing. Like, people think it's like riding a bike, but it's where you feel you're at in space out of a certain, like, pass. It's like muscle memory out of one side, and that muscle memory isn't there on the other side. So when you move out into space, you don't really understand where you're at. So I found myself drifting in weird areas of the pocket, like, that Wednesday. Like, I didn't really, like, I couldn't feel where I was at. So it was good to see that on film. And Thursday, it got a little bit better. Again, took tons of reps, dry reps, and then obviously a team. Friday, like, I did the same thing. I know that's more of our jog through day, but I did even more Friday. And then I, you know, fly out Saturday and play Sunday against Washington, against Brian Arakpo. You know, at the time, it was like he and Clay were some of the top pass rushers in the league at the time. You know, those were like couple of the two young guys that were really right, tearing up the league in sacks and everything like that. And yeah, that's kind of how it went. And I was nervous as all hell. Let's put it that way. I was like, this is like a couple days work pushing off my left foot. Let's see how it goes. Like, let's see how this goes. And, you know, I had my ups and downs in that game for sure. A couple missed assignments, a couple things in my head that I had flipped around. Cause obviously when you're under the gun, and the pressure's there, and, you know, the noise is up, and you know, there's a lot of things happening, and you're trying to flip things in your head, and you're focused on your technique, and I mean, I made some mistakes, and that was the way it went. I felt like I blocked fairly well. Like, I blocked fairly well. Like, Arakpo didn't have a sack or anything like that. I don't think he hit Aaron. But I made some mental errors, which I think, you know, caused some issues throughout the game, which I, you know, that's the way I didn't want it to go that way, but it did. But it was kind of a whirlwind, like, week, because, like, my head was just spinning the entire week trying to play catch up. And some people may say, well, why aren't you teaching yourself to play right tackle, or why aren't you keeping up on that? Well, because the coaches tell you what positions you should be getting dialed in at. Like, that's right. They tell you. Like, and what I was told to do was, obviously, I knew left guard because I did that in camp. So I was up to date on what I needed to do at left guard. They would never put me there because I stunk at it. But I knew what to do if I played left guard. You know what I mean? Like, I knew what to do. I knew the assignments. And then, obviously, like, I took all my reps in practice at left tackle. I took all the reps off Cliff. Like, that's what I did.
Right.
So I was, like, that's what I was ready to go do, was go play left tackle if something happened to Cliff. So when they made the switch over to right tackle, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, this is, my head was just spinning. So it was a little bit of a whirlwind. And, it got progressively better. I mean, again, I had up and down moments those first 4 or 5 weeks making that switch, because I went against really good pass rushers those first few weeks. Like, it was Arakpo, Cameron Wake. I think we played Minnesota, so there was that group. So, like, it was a tough couple weeks to get it rolling, but I finally settled in and got progressively better as the thing went on.
Wow, your memory, again, unlike old boy, Washington, Miami, Minnesota, at the Jets, a game that you guys won 9-0.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And then you guys blew out the Cowboys, and then you had the bye week. So, your old friend Josh Sitton would always, he always was proud of this, because he switched, right? He went left guard, right guard a bunch, and then there was one time where they had to put him out at left tackle, and he got the job done. But he loved to talk about, and I don't understand, he is who he is, so we love him for who he is. But, man, did he love to say, oh, it's like wiping your blank with your left hand. He just thought that was, Tausch is so proud of his analogies. That is City's go-to analogy. Anytime it came up about switching sides on the offensive line, it was the butt-wiping analogy. But, no pun intended, like, it really is, like, it's actually a really good analogy. Like, I don't want to get into anyone's personal hygiene techniques, but doing stuff with your offhand, whatever it might be, writing with your offhand, if you don't like City's analogy, it's hard. And I do think it's interesting because, and this is why I wanted to revisit this, because we've spent a lot of time talking about Jordan Morgan. We're going to talk a lot about Jordan Love coming up because, we finally got information on where kind of things are headed with his surgery. He's got the big cast on, but he's going to practice in some form or fashion next week. But Jordan Morgan seems to have that gene, to some degree anyway, that Elton has, that Zach Tom has, that you had to work to develop. Because it didn't just come naturally to you the minute that Tausch got hurt. But are there certain guys that just have that innate ability to flip it in their brain and be effective? Because I've talked about this with Zach Tom before, and he says, I don't understand why my brain works this way, but it is a huge advantage. Now, he's settled in at right tackle, and he got paid there, like you did and like Tausch did. But he's still that guy, and his brain still works that way, that he could move. Is that just, are there just certain guys that you played with that had that?
Yeah. I mean, I just think some guys are just able to just do those types of things on the fly. They're wired a little bit different. And I think if in college, right, like, and I think this is the big thing, if in college you were a guy that potentially moved a little bit, you're more adapt to those things. Like, you're prepared for that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I didn't move in college, right? Like, Kirk put me at left guard knowing I'm going to left tackle. Like, you're going
right
to go out to left tackle next year. Like, and he actually had told me, like, I should have put you at left tackle your freshman year, but I didn't know if you were ready or not. So, like, my whole freshman year, I was on one side of the ball. I was in one stance. I didn't take sets or do anything on one side of the ball. So, like, you know, for 3 years and how many thousands of reps I took in college, as because, like, I didn't, you know, in high school, yeah, I decided I'd help the team out and play left tackle when I was a tight end the year prior because we were short of left tackle. So I had no experience really as an offensive lineman going into college. So learning to play offensive line, I only learned it one way, right? And I only learned it out of one stance. I, you know, everything was ingrained in my head on one side of the ball. Like, that's how I was trained. Some guys get cross-trained in college because, hey, they come in as freshmen. Maybe they get redshirted and they get moved around a little bit or whatever it may be. So they're naturally, or just from when they come in, they're used to moving around a little bit. And then when they get to the NFL, when they're asked to do that, yeah, it's still going to be a little bit awkward. Don't get me wrong. When you're asked to go right to left in the middle of practice, it still is a little difficult. Guys will still say that too. But they're more comfortable doing it. Right. And it comes as a little more natural. Like guys that did, like Sitton was one of them, right? TJ was another one that could do that. TJ could go back and forth. Sitton could go back and forth. I know, I'm trying to think of other guys in my head. Like Spitz was another guy that would go back and forth a bunch. Jason Spitz from my rookie year. He was the guy that did that a bunch. So there's just some guys that are just able to do it. And obviously Elton, right? Elton was kind of his rookie year. He was kind of getting moved all around until he settled at left guard, after week one or whatever it was when he went in. So there's some guys that are just used to it and they're ready for it. And, that's kudos to them. And I know Goody wants guys to be cross-trained, right? Like that's good. That's good for certain positions, right? Like certain things, that's okay for guys to be cross-trained. And I've gone into this a bunch. But sometimes you need specialists, right? Like sometimes right. You need guys that are this. They are like, this is what he is, and that is what he's going to be, and that's where he's going to stay, right? Like, obviously, like, they tried to shift me out to left tackle in 2013. I was having a good camp, blew my knee out. Hey, you're going back to right tackle because Dave stepped up and played really good. Mm-hmm. Hey, it is what it is. My body was still, like, yeah, I had adjusted to left tackle, but getting over back to right tackle, that was the knee I tore, was my left knee. So pushing back off that knee
right.
took a little while, you know, to get ready for that. But my body was used to it already. So, like, I was comfortable moving back over to the right after doing a whole summer of left tackle to readjust. There's guys that are just specialists, and that's what they are, and that's what they should be. Not everyone can be cross-trained, right? Because not everyone can do that. Like, some guys are just have it in them. And it
like
doesn't
Jacob
make
Monk
a guy...
isn't a guard.
Yeah, like Jacob Monk, yeah, he's not a guard. I would like to see him get more center, right? Like, I mean, I really would like to see him, like, start at, if Elton's obviously not going to play, right? Like, I mean, that's right. Pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the two line or a mix of the lines are going to go out, I would like to see Monk at center. And if you're going to play Sean Ryan, play Sean Ryan at right guard next to him.
Right.
Right. Because, yep. That's what I would like to see. Let him have the best opportunity to try to succeed next to guys that are, you know, starters in the league too, right? Like, let him have an opportunity to see how he does.
And to get him his confidence back. Like, it was, I mean, you.
Yes.
I love you like a brother. Do I bring up Seattle and Bruce Irvin from time to time to needle you like a brother? I do. But in all seriousness, when you have a day like that, you want to be able to bounce back, and it's incumbent on your coaches to give you the chance, right? To get back into a rhythm, because that he was. We talked to him after the game, and I'm not, I don't mean this in a mean-spirited way, but like some of the questions he was asked and how long it took him to answer, like I felt like he was like holding back his emotions. I mean, he had three holding penalties, gave up a sack. Like, it was a really tough day at the office. And I'll tell you this from my perspective, I don't enjoy that part of the job. Like, if I have to ask tough questions, that's part of the gig. But when somebody has a really bad day and then you have to ask questions about how badly it went, That is, I don't enjoy that at all. There are some sadomasochistic reporters who seem to enjoy that. I am not among them, and I will not name the people that seem to enjoy that, although some of them who are retired now, they just didn't bother to talk to the guy. They just ripped them in print. All right, I want to get into some of the other things that are going on. I just thought this was instructive because Jordan Morgan is like you. He spent his entire career at left tackle, and maybe it will turn out that he's not that moving chess piece, and if he wins that left tackle job, they're going to have some specialists because that's going to create some substitution challenges when somebody inevitably gets hurt. So we'll get into that with Brian, but more importantly, Jordan Love was at practice in Westfield, not Carmel or Carmel, Indiana. He did not participate. He had a big, giant cast on his left hand, but he's going to practice next week? We'll delve into that with Brian coming up. Want to remind you that even though Tausch isn't here today, I'm a proud Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin customer, and if you want to be one, you can get the long-lasting comfort and reliability that make it easy to trust Pella. Every piece is specifically constructed for you and your home, always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance to last for years, and built to create long-term energy savings. Our biggest window in our house is a big, beautiful Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Bay window, and we love everything about it. And if you order by August 31st, you'll get 0% interest for up to 5 years. So visit PellaWI.com today to find out more. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day, next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs. We believe in better. And Brian is as good as it gets. We're lucky to have him in our rotation. All right, Brian, speaking of rotations, we'll get back to the offensive line and your thoughts on that, because that is your area of expertise. But I was getting some grief the other day about being an alarmist. And I don't think that I'm being chicken little, but I'm going to defer to you on this, because yesterday, Jordan Love does not practice, obviously. He's got his hand in a cast. Now, they were very vague about what his practices could look like next week, but they do intend him to practice in some form or fashion. It's impossible for me to imagine them putting him out there against the Seahawks in the joint practice and putting him out there in the game. There's no upside. All there is risk to me for those. But, and I joke about this, but it's true, like, if they have to play without Jordan Love and without five of their six top receivers, they're not going to do very well. That's the brilliant analysis that I'm here to provide. But if all those guys, because look, none of these are catastrophic injuries, right? Romeo Doubs is back. There was a chance he was going to practice yesterday, according to LaFleur. Jaden Reed's out of his boot. Didn't practice yesterday. Dontayvion Wicks, it's been over 2 weeks now with the calf. And again, they also have a calf injury that Xavier McKinney sustained. And Xavier McKinney is going to be ready for the opener, absolutely, according to Goody. Now, Christian Watson will not be ready for the opener. He is starting on PUP. He's got to miss at least four games. Goody made it sound like he's going to want to play after those four games, and the team is probably going to try and hold him back. Okay? And then Savion Williams, I'm not saying that he is experiencing Marshawn Lloyd 2 electric boogaloo, but he had off-season shoulder surgery after his time at TCU, so he was in a red no-contact jersey and limited throughout off-season. Then he gets a concussion during the pre-padded practices. So he's in and out of the lineup because of that. Now he's got apparently a hamstring. So those are your five. You got basically Matthew Golden and a bunch of guys, and Mecole Hardman and a bunch of guys that you weren't really intending on doing anything other than taking reps, right? I mean, all kidding aside, maybe they do need to have Bo Melton start taking some wide receiver reps along with his corner reps. Bottom line, though, Brian, is all these guys should be back by September 7th. The question is, how do you get them in a rhythm together if they've missed this much time? And is that something that is a concern, or is that something that I am just blowing out of proportion?
No, I don't think you're blowing it out of proportion, because I mean it's a real question, and I don't, quite frankly, I don't know how you're gonna get all of them in sync when we don't really know when Jordan Love is gonna be back and practicing, right? Like, listen, I understand that it was not a bad injury or a big surgery or anything like that, but like, what's the point of like pushing him and potentially putting him out there next week when, like, he's got a cast on right now? And, you know, I mean, there's, I don't know what he's going to do next week, but regardless, it's probably not going to be much if he does anything. So, like, let's just, like, call that what it is. And then the way these receivers come back, you know, as they get healthy, who knows how it's going to be, right? It could be like one guy and then randomly, but how that times up with when Love is fully back and throwing and everything like that. So I don't know how they get on the same page, you know, as a group, like everyone, and, you know, with the quarterback and those guys that have been out. And I don't know how you get that. I mean, you're going to have to do it with a lot of timing things. Once you get into that, you know, week before the game and then the game week, you're really going to have to, a lot of 7-on-7 and, you know, dry reps and things like that, routes on air, just to get certain timing things down. Because, like, these are the reps right now, like when you're, the joint practices and things like that, those are valuable reps because you're doing them against other teams' ones, and you can see things in real time, right? Like how it's happening in how you would see it in a game, because you're going against another team's, you know, starting group, and it's highly competitive, and that's how it's treated. It's treated almost like a game. And if you're not getting those reps and you know, you're just getting, and I'm not diminishing practice reps, but practice reps are not the same as joint practice reps. They just aren't. Just call it what it is. So if you miss those reps, you got to find ways to get even more reps in practice and all that before Detroit, right? Like, and you're gonna have to find that, and you know, in that week and some change before you go out there against Detroit. And to me, like, this would be the time now. Like, if I'm, you know, having my say, I am grinding as hard as I can on this run game and play action game to the tight ends. And obviously, you got to have to, you know, Golden's still doing his thing and getting his, you know, feel for the offense and all those things. So you still got to make sure he's getting what he needs, you know, obviously. But I am, you know, really making sure that my run game and my play action to my tight ends are, you know, are feeling really, like, I'm feeling really good about that. Because if you go into, at least when all these receivers and Jordan Love get back, and that part of your offense is doing really well, you can then, you know, it can help you, you know, ease into the passing game, right? Like, it can help you, you know, maybe relieve a little, you know, burden that the pass game isn't fully there yet, so to speak, right? And I know we need it to be there week one against Detroit. I know, you need to have all facets going. But when this many guys are down and the quarterback and they're not taking reps and they're not practicing, it's a big ask to have it look like you want it to week one, right? It just is. It's a big ask. So you got to do with the guys that are available right now, and that's the offensive line, that's the running back, that's the tight ends. get these guys tuned up and get that part of your offense looking the way you want it to. Because if you got that part rolling, then you can start integrating back the receivers. And obviously, you know, Jordan, as he gets back, to start orchestrating that. But you got to have at least one part of this thing humming by the time these receivers get back before week one.
We will see exactly what that looks like, but I agree. I think you're going to get, and again, I'm sure that the Detroit Lions are thinking this way too, because they're paying attention to this stuff. They're probably expecting a heavy dose of Josh Jacobs and two tight end sets, right? That's what I would be expecting from them. And, you know, you obviously have to prepare for everything, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, I want to get into what exactly is realistic to expect for Jordan Love. You did not play quarterback, but you played through your share of injuries. And I think it is important that he made it very clear that had this happened during the regular season, he wouldn't have had the surgery. He would have played through it. So we'll get into that coming up. I don't think he has any litigation opportunities against the New York Jets for injuring his thumb. But if he did, there'd only be one call to place, and that's to Grubeloff's one call. That's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website gruber-law.com to find out more about the firm, about all the great lawyers that are there, about everything David does with his team in the community. Grubeloff's one call. That's all. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch. Continuing with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. All right, you played your entire Packers career with Aaron Charles Rodgers. In 13, when he broke his collarbone, you were out with your ACL. And then, did you tear your ACL in 17 also?
Yeah, I tore it like week 9 or something like that.
So you did play with his backup in 17, Brett Hundley, for a period before you also. You guys, his collarbone and your knee were on the same schedule almost.
Yeah, essentially. On the same timeline.
So you obviously remember him playing through injuries, and I don't think... You know, I know that our buddy Kyle Wallace on KBN took a lot of heat from people who didn't agree with his take, and I'm among them, by the way. And I told Kyle that on their show. I don't think Jordan Love qualifies as injury prone. This was something that he would have played through during the season. He came back from an MCL tear after missing only 2 games. I respect that. I don't think that there is in any way, at this point, can you say this about him? Had the groin injury in Jacksonville, was back the next week. He didn't miss a game. He missed a half. So I think that's a little, I thought that was a little bit of a harsh criticism. That said, the only way you get better at football is playing football. And there has been a little bit of a dismissiveness about the missed time that he is undergoing during training camp. Fine. My concern, if I'm a Packers fan, is, as we just discussed, getting on the same page. But what? How do you get him back, Brian? Like, you did return to play stuff when you came back from various injuries. Like, how do you think they're going to approach this next week? What exactly do you want him doing? Because the last thing you want to do, and he said this yesterday, is go out there too soon while you're still healing and jack up your thumb again, and now the point of having surgery has been ruined, Jerry, because you're now back to square one.
Yeah, I don't know what the return to play protocol for that even is, right? I mean, like, to be honest with you, because of the nature of the injury, right, and him saying if this was in season, he probably just would have taped it and played with it and all that, which I get it. I mean, and that's the thing. I don't think the guy's injury prone, right? I mean, listen, things happen in the NFL, right? Like, guys get hurt in the NFL and guys get rolled into – I mean, it's part of the gig, right? It's not like he continues to suffer of, like, I don't know, like weird little dumb things that, you know, that you're like, come on, man. Like, you know, you could take care of this, or if you did this to your – like, he's not – that's not happening to him, right? Like, I don't know what happened to his thumb or what play it happened on, but chances are – a Jets D line maybe like fell on it, or it got trapped in something, or it got caught on a face mask, and that's what happened.
So, like, I think what happened was, and it is funny because, you know, me being a helicopter parent and beat writer, I asked him about the sack after the game, which, you know, it didn't look bad, right? Like, you watched it. It didn't look bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this flashback to Brazil because he got spun around a little bit, right? They got kind of wrapped up by the midsection. And I asked him, you know, I understand you can't play to not get hurt, but at the same time, you have to be smart. And he admitted, look, I should have gone down. Like, he did that jump cut to create space, and then he got sacked. He should have just gone down, right? Well, it turns out that he injured the thumb. If you watch the play again, he takes his left hand and kind of stiff arms into one of the helmets of one of the pass rushers. I think it might have been Will McDonald. And that must be where it happened. It, like, overextended or got bent funny, mm-hmm. or whatever it was. And that goes back to, is the juice even worth the squeeze for preseason games when something like that is, because it's a fluke thing, right? Total fluke.
It
so
is. I mean, like,
I don't know what they're gonna do.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously he has to, like, a protocol has to be that he's able to take snaps under center, right? Like, and getting under center and having that ball smack that bottom hand where that thumb is, and making sure that it's, you know, he's comfortable. Like, that's a significant thing. Like, maybe people don't think about that, but that is huge. It's not just, you know, being able to grab it, spin it, grip it, and throw with his obviously his right hand. But he's got to be able to get under center and take snaps, and, like, that has a lot to do with the left hand and getting that underneath. So I don't know exactly, right, like, what the trainers will have, like, return to play. But you're right. You don't want him to go back out there, like, say, Monday, and the cast is – like, there's just no point to it. I would just – if you're going to have him return, which he will sooner than later, obviously, just have him come back after the Seattle week, right? Like, let him rehab this whole week. Let him – once that cast comes off, let him rehab. Let him re-strengthen everything. Let him do all that, and then he returns, right? And then it's full go, ready to go for Detroit. Because you're right, that's the last thing you want. Come back too early, a ball or something hits that, and we're back to where we were, you know, after the Jets game. There's just no point to it. So I don't know what they're going to do, but my guess is with the training staff and the doctors, knowing how they operate, they're going to be cautious, would be my guess. Very cautious.
All right, I want to get into now. I was not in Indianapolis yesterday, or Westfield, or Carmel, as Tausch called it, randomly. But the reports from the joint practice were basically that the Packers' defense cooked the Colts offense, and the Colts defense cooked the Packers offense. So we will get into that coming up, because, again, these, and I want Brian's feedback on this, these are becoming the new preseason game, these joint practices. These matter more than the games themselves. You're able to do more stuff, so I want to get Brian's thoughts on that as well. We'll talk about that coming up. Quick text from Matt Coonan. I want Jordan nowhere near a joint practice. But can Brian explain to a couch coach why Jordan can't slap on a Nick Perry-style club and be out there for drill work?
Yeah, I mean, he could do it to be out there for conditioning, right, and to keep his wind up. But we all, I mean, like quarterbacks, I mean, we all see how they, you know, even in the shotgun, they receive the ball and they spin it in their hand, how they set it in their hand. Like, he needs both hands to operate, right? Like, he's got to be able, like I said, he's got to be able to get under center and receive snaps. He's got to be able to give handoffs. And you give handoffs with your left and right hand, depending on which way the play is called. So he's got to be able to use both hands at all times. Like, that's part of the gig as a quarterback. So until he's 100% comfortable doing that, right? And listen, like, when you hand off a ball and Jacobs is running 100 mile an hour at you, there's a, like, your thumb's going to get hit, like, right? Like, your hand is getting put inside his midsection and it's going to get hit as you're giving him the ball. Like, I mean, so you got to make sure that you're 100% comfortable that that thing is healed or is healed and it's going to get ready to go. But from a conditioning standpoint, like, yeah, that's probably, I mean, he'll have whatever he, however they wrap it or whatever they do, because he's got to keep his wind up, right? He's got to be able to stay conditioned and all that. So that's what he'll probably be doing this next week, is when he returns to training or practice, it'll be conditioning would be my guess. Maybe someone will throw him a, hand him a ball with his right, to his right hand, and he'll he'll do some throwing. But I just don't see him, you know, getting snaps fired back at him and him catching with nothing on and doing that. I don't see that happening.
We will see when he addresses us next week, but I am I'm intrigued by this as well. I've also been intrigued by the Quick Trip Mountain Dew Quick Climb. I've been playing every day. I've got all kinds of grand prize entries ready, and I'm sure you're playing as well, where every sip gets you closer to the summit. Now through August 17th, so the contest only has a couple of days left. You can play each day for free in the Quick Rewards app. You do a little scratch-off with your finger, and you score bonus plays with every eligible item you grab, like an ice-cold Pepsi, Bold Mountain Dew, hydrating Gatorade or Propel, sparkling bubbler drinks, you know how much I love those, smooth Starbucks, refreshing Pure Leaf, and the high-voltage taste of Rockstar. That's not my thing. I'm more of a bubbler guy. Pair one of those with hot food, and boom, you've got two bonus plays. Every week, someone's cashing in, because each week the cash prize climbs by $5,000, stacking higher and higher until one player hits the ultimate payday, $250,000 in cash. And when I win, I'm still going to come to work the next day. So open your Quick Rewards app. Get climbing, because this summer the view from the top is worth every play. Quick Trip's Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Your summer, your climb, your win. No purchase necessary. See full rules at quicktrip.com/sweepstakes. Quick Trip, they get it. Fill up, fuel up, and grab everything you need. We'll see you next time. More Wilde and Tausch with Brian Bulaga next. Stick around. The joint practice at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, because the Packers in my inbox have announced their weekend plans throughout the 2025 regular season. Now, kickoff weekend, which I believe the Black Crows are playing before, is also Packers alumni weekend. Does that mean that we will be seeing your smiling face in Green Bay, Wisconsin, for the opener against the Lions as they celebrate the 15th anniversary of the Super Bowl 45 team?
No, I will not be there.
Dude, I don't mean to be whatever, but that delivery was outstanding. Soccer tournament?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I do have one of those, and just couldn't... We just couldn't make it work with the flights, and there's obligations that were required that I just couldn't uphold to, and things like that.
Okay, enough said. I don't want to put you in a spot where you have to explain how difficult you are to work with for the Packers. I get it. You're a diva. Just admit it.
No, it's not even. It's not even that. Because I would have had, I think it's kind of like a week long thing that I'd have to leave, and then with the kids in school, and then obviously there is a soccer tournament that week, and I think my daughter's, she's playing rec soccer, and that kicks off that weekend. So my wife alone with a tournament and my daughter play, like, it's just, it's almost, I mean, it can't be done. It's
you're
just
talking
the way
to
it
the
goes,
right guy.
Right?
I'm with you. You're making the right choice. You got my full support. Now, for Packers fans that aren't alumni like yourself, a couple of other highlights from the schedule. The Thursday night game against the Commanders, which is 5 days after that opener, or maybe four, after the opener against the Lions, will be the winter warning whiteout uniforms. Is Brian Bulaga pro or con on the all-white unis?
Personally, I don't like the all-white unis and that says a lineman, right? Like, that says an O-lineman. There are some guys that look really good in them, right? Like, some guys, like, make them look really good, and they look really slick, and guys, you know, they look good. Linemen, it's not our cup of tea. We'll just put it that way.
Okay,
not our bag.
So that is for the week two game on Thursday night football against the Washington Commanders, that it will be white out winter warning unis. Now, for the one that really matters most to one Brian Bulaga, week 9. November 2nd, a noon start against the Carolina Panthers. They will unveil their 1923 classic uniforms with Brian's favorite helmet, the hand-painted leather helmets and uniforms. So I assume you will rearrange your schedule for whatever it takes so you can be there in person to see those unis and those helmets up close.
Yeah, those I definitely want to see those up close. And it's funny, and again, I like the jerseys and everything. Like, I think the jerseys are good. Like, I think those are clean. I really like them. But it's funny how, like, those get put at the noon kickoff against the Panthers, like the most insignificant team, like, on the schedule. Yeah, I mean, and again, every game's a big game, right? Like, I'm not, let me clarify that. Every game's a big game. But if you were to look at their schedule and look at, like, who, like, big games, right? Like, you know, you look at, like, the first 2 weeks, those are big games, right? Those are giant opponents, right? I wouldn't put the Carolina at a noon kickoff, like, as, like, oh, like a showcase of the throwback unis, right? Like, that's not really, to me, if you're trying to, like, show these things off, like, the game to do it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe my logic's way off. Maybe I'm way off on my logic.
You're just a hater. It's okay. You know, just own it. But no, you would think, I'll be honest, I thought that it would be for, like, Monday Night Football against the defending Super Bowl champs. That was what I was expecting, and I was wrong, completely wrong on that. So,
why not against, like, a divisional opponent? Like, I feel like the Bears have worn their throwbacks against the Packers a bajillion times. That would make sense. Yeah. They're another historical franchise. The Panthers, an expansion team. I don't understand.
Yeah, we will. No. I'm just excited for Brian to get his gear. I can't wait for the Packers to send him, like, a leather helmet. As a gift. Yes, just for his unwavering support of the new unis.
I do. Again, I will say it loud and proud. I think, oh man, those Lion Eye uniforms are gross. Like, those things are disgusting. I mean, if you're listening, they just showed the Illinois uniforms. But the jerseys are really good. Like, again, in my time with the Packers, all our throwback unis, like the jerseys, like, I always thought they were really clean. I thought they looked good. There was never one that I thought was like, ooh, like, this jersey, this is gross mm-hmm. looking. I always thought they were really good, and there's no different to this one. I think this one looks really good. Again, I just don't like the helmet. I'm just not in on the helmet, and that's just what it is. And I understand they're hand painted or whatever they are, and there's a lot of effort and time into it. I'm not saying it doesn't take skill, and someone didn't put a lot of TLC into it. I just don't like them, and that's just what it is. Like, that's it. That's it.
All right. You've made your position clear, and we appreciate your honesty. I'm looking forward to seeing these helmets up close. I'm hoping maybe I can try one on. And if I do, I'll take a picture and I'll send it to you. All right, we need to get to the 10 o'clock hour. We need to talk about what happened yesterday in Indianapolis. We'll do that in 2 minutes. It is Wilde and Tausch with Brian Bulaga, our Cousin Sub of the day. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Stick around.